ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I give you glory because of who you are. I give you praise.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. Jehovah Jesus, Lord, you reign in victory. Jehovah Jireh, you're my prince. Worship you because of who you are. Oh, Jireh, you're my provider. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Now come on and worship him.
So mighty.
Ready?
dreams.
Amen. As our children make their way down, let's give Sister Jennifer Garner and our children's choir great hands. Thank y'all so much. Amen. As we stand all over this place, and if you have your Bibles, I ask that you would turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and I mean, all morning, amen, even from the devotional reading by Minister Miller, even the Sunday school, and certainly the songs by our children have all been in our message for today, because I want to talk about everybody ought to praise the Lord, amen. Exodus chapter 15, and we will read for your hearing verses 1 and 2, amen. God bless you, children, bless you, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, there you will find these words. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. So let me back it up, Brother Robinson, and we'll read it from the King James Version. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we pray, oh Father, that now the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that they will be acceptable in thy sight, oh God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell your neighbor, everybody ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Amen. God bless you in this place. Now, I want to digress before I progress, all right? It's not unusual for us to occupy ourselves with a song as we stroll along our way. For instance, upon leaving the love of his teenage years during the 60s, many a young man could be heard singing, I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way? My girl, talking about my girl, amen. When I was in love back in the 80s, because the song I'm singing now is Ne-Yo and Snoop Dogg, No Plans for Love. But when I was in love back in the 80s, amen, the song that would cloud my memory and my heart, amen, as I thought about my special somebody, was a song that said, I like the way you comb your hair. I like the stylish clothes you wear. It's just the little things you do that show just how much you really care. Amen. An elderly saint, while working in the yard, tending the flower bed, or raking leaves, or mowing the lawn, would contemplate how far the Lord had brought them from. And they could be heard singing a song that said, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, because you brought me, huh, from a mighty long way. And then some of us, while walking alone in the shadows of a dark night, thinking about the dangers that might lurk in the darkness to engulf us, could be heard singing, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me all along this tedious journey. I want Jesus to walk with me. And many a saint, when facing trials and tribulations, have been heard singing another song that says, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. So, my brothers and sisters, to occupy ourselves with song as we stroll along our way is not an unusual occurrence. How many of you find yourselves singing stuff while you're washing dishes or folding clothes or cooking in the kitchen? You find yourself singing a song, amen, that may say something about the state of your mind at that time. So it is not unusual for us to be found singing songs as we go along life's way. But if you would look again at the first three words of verse 1 of chapter 15, amen, look again at the first three words of verse 1 of chapter 15, you will find an uncharacteristic phrase. For there you will find these words. It says, then sang Moses. Tell your neighbor, not Moses, not Moses. Amen. Now, if the commencement of that verse had read, then spoke Moses, or then prophesied Moses, or then prayed Moses, perhaps we would have paid it no attention at all. Because characteristically, Moses would speak as the mouthpiece of God and as the representative of the people of God. Characteristically, Moses would pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, amen, on behalf of the people of God. So if that verse would have read, then said Moses, or then prayed Moses, it probably wouldn't have grabbed our attention. But it doesn't say, then said Moses. But rather, it says, then sang Moses. Now, that's almost as interesting as if some of you in here who we know can't hold a note in a bucket, amen, if it said your name in there, we would all be shocked and surprised. We know that Moses had a stuttering problem. Moses had a speech impediment. But the text says, then sang Moses. And that, my brothers and sisters, is an unusual occurrence, because nowhere else in Scripture, nowhere else in the Bible do we find this phrase or any hint that Moses ever sang. Amen. Amen. We've got to really look at this, because I want to submit to us this morning that the singing of Moses signals the sign of something significant. Let me just take a moment. Let me take a few moments to explain why I chose to use the term sign instead of miracle or wonder. You see, all three of these words are actually synonymous one with the other. Beyond that, they have a different nuance in terms of emphasis. All three can be describing the same event, and yet God is teaching us three different truths. As an example, one of the writers describes the man, and this is right in our Sunday school lesson, that one of the writers describes the man on the side of the road who was born blind, amen, born blind Bartimaeus. And it may be described as a miracle in one passage. It may be referred to as a sign in another passage, or it could be referred to as a wonder. And the reason is the word miracle has to do with the objective reality of the supernatural. It has to do with the objective reality of the super mundane and super terrestrial activity of God invading the natural order of things and bringing out his desire and design in them. Amen. Tell your neighbor, amen, God is known to perform miracles. Come on, is there anybody sitting in Pleasant Hill this morning who can testify that some stuff that has happened in your life, amen, when you look back and think things over, you know it wasn't an accident, you know it wasn't a coincidence, you know that it was God performing a miracle in your life. Irrespective of what others think about it, it's just God acting through his own sovereignty. In other words, when we look around and see it, it is already a miracle. But when I observe that same event from a subjective conclusion, then it is no longer a miracle. It is then a wonder. Because when I look at it, amen, I have to look at it and wonder how God was able to do that. Amen. It's the same miracle, but when I look at it, it's a wonder. Amen. But I want to submit and suggest to you this morning that that is a miracle, that is a wonder to us, is also God presenting to us a sign. Do you know that every miracle that God does is for some kind of sign? I'm simply telling you that every miracle of God is a wonder, but it is also a sign that is meant to point either the recipient of the miracle, the observer of the miracle, or the one who hears about the miracle well after the miracle has been performed. It is a sign that is meant to get you beyond the miracle itself. Come on, talk, Pastor. Amen, amen. In other words, what am I saying? I'm saying you can stand there in wonder for days.
You can look at that miracle and just stand there and wonder God, oh my, how did you do that? You can look at it and you can wonder. But if you never get beyond wondering about the miracle and understanding that that miracle is for you or for somebody else, a sign that is meant to get you somewhere, then you've missed the point. Let me give you an example. If I leave Leesville on Highway 171 South, there's a sign down there somewhere near Entrance Road that says Lake Charles is like 76 miles from Leesville. Now, I could pull up to that sign, get out, and grab that sign, but it would be defeating the purpose because I haven't arrived to the destination. Do I have a witness today? Amen. I don't hop on the sign and think I've arrived. When you get hungry this evening and you see a sign that says Popeyes or Burger King, you don't go and hop on the sign. The reason is the sign is pointing to something inside or something farther on down the road. Do I have a witness today? So whenever we come across a miracle in the Bible, such as the feeding of the 5,000, don't just wonder about the miracle because they got hungry the next day. So if it didn't last for them, you know it will be of no value to us, save for the fact that wherever there is a miracle in the Bible, if you just keep on reading a verse or two and you will get a message. And it's the message that is permanent. Oh my, not the miracle. Tell your neighbor, not the miracle, but the message. Be sure you get the message. You get the message. When he fed the hungry multitude with two fish and five loaves of bread, he did take bread and break it. But when you keep reading, you will hear him say, I am the bread of life. Now, that's what's important. It's the message behind the miracle. And whenever we observe that message behind the miracle and describe it as a wonder, then the wonder will always be a witness to what God has done. And the reason we need the witness to the wonder is because the sign is pointing to our salvation. And since the sign of Moses singing points to our salvation or deliverance from some present danger, I thought it would be helpful if we could find out, when did Moses sing? Oh my, oh my. Let me ask you. Did Moses sing when at the burning bush Jehovah revealed to him that unspeakable name of I am that I am and sent him to bring his people out of Egyptian bondage? Is that when he sang? Did he sing after he cast down his rod before Pharaoh and it became a serpent and ate up Pharaoh's serpents? Is that when he sang? Or did he sing when God sent plague after plague after plague after plague upon the Egyptians but spared the children of Israel? Or did he sing when the blood was sprinkled over the doorpost of the houses of the children of Jacob while the death angel walked through the streets of Egypt killing all of the firstborn of Egypt? Or did he sing that glorious morning of their deliverance from bondage when they started out as freed men on their trek to liberation? I tell you, that's not when he sang. The context of chapter 14 informs us that he sang on the heels of the Lord's great deliverance of Israel from the grip of Pharaoh and his army. After the Lord had caused the waters of the Red Sea to stand up like a mighty giant on both sides until Israel made it safely to the other side on dry ground. And then at the stretching forth of Moses' hands over the sea, God caused the waters to rush back in place, drowning the army of Pharaoh in the water. That's when he sang. I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that Moses sung because he realized that God had delivered him from his enemies. God had delivered his people from their enemies. And amen, whenever God delivers you, you ought to sing. I said, whenever God brings you out, you ought to sing. whenever the Lord brings you through, you are the same. But somebody's looking at me saying, but Pastor, I don't know the difference from between A flat and B flat. Neither did Moses. But Pastor, amen, I don't have a good voice. Amen, I've got a speech impediment and I'm not able to sing. Well, Moses had the same problem. But there comes a time in every believer's voice that if God does something great in your life, don't worry about who's listening. Don't worry about what key you in. Don't worry about whether the musician can follow you or not. When you know God has brought you through, you better open your mouth and give him praise. Do you know what I found out? I found out that even deaf folk and dumb folk who can't talk, amen, they may not be able to audibly sing, but they will start signing it out. They will praise God with their hands. Is there anybody here who knows that everybody ought to praise the Lord? He reserved his singing. When their past was covered in a flood of mercy and their future was laid bare in a vision of grace, that's when Moses sang. When the Lord was shown to be sovereign over monarchs, governor over governments, and master over nature, that's when Moses sang. When weapons of mass destruction were smashed and military might was mitigated and technology was drowned, that's when Moses sang. As I've already suggested, Moses is not known for having a melodious voice. He's not known to have a career as a songster. He's not known for singing so powerfully as to cause goosebumps to cover the surface of your skin. He couldn't play as masterfully as David. He couldn't sing as skillfully as Judithan, the chief musician. He couldn't minister through song, but as a response to witnessing the salvation of the Lord, Moses opened his mouth and started singing. Moses is not known for having a melodious voice, amen, but it ought to suggest to us that regardless of our singing savvy or musical ineptitude, that following every divine deliverance should be some personal praise. Amen. As a matter of fact, you can be in your car riding all by yourself and start thinking about how the Lord opened doors for you that you were unable to open. You can be in Walmart, amen, and remember a time when you didn't have two nickels to rub together, but now you don't have to get great value. You can get Del Monte if you want to, and praise ought to break out in Walmart. Is there anybody here who, when you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, you understand that you're responsible to give God some personal praise? All I'm trying to tell you is that Moses sang after he realized he had been saved from his enemies. And there ought to be somebody in this room today who can look back over your life and remember a time when you were too mean to live and you weren't fit to die. But now look at you. You're in church on a Sunday morning. Somebody can remember a time when you would have been out all night Saturday and you weren't thinking about going to no church on a Sunday. But now that you look at your life and you realize that it's not because you've been so good and it's not because you've done everything right, but it has been grace and mercy that brought you out, that brought you through. And you don't worry about who's listening to you. You understand that you need to open your mouth and praise the Lord. Do I have a witness today? Salvation signals a song. Deliverance dictates a dance. Redemption ought to raise some praise. Get up now and get your praise on. Sing to the Lord. Let him be God in your praise. Let him be God in your worship. Let him be God